Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 262, episode 2 of
Der Daily Zeitgeist,
a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Tuesday, November 8th, 2022. My name is Jack O'Brien, aka I'm from everywhere, man. I'm from everywhere, man. I lived over there, man. So many different state fairs, man. Of moving, I've had my share, man. I'm from everywhere. I'm from Eugene, West Virginia, Dayton, Philadelphia, Jersey, NYC, College in DC, Boston, Missouri, Lexington, Kentucky, also Lexington, Mass, Yorktown Heights, LA County. I could keep going and going. Shout out to Johnny Davis for the I've Been Everywhere. Jenny Cash, aka appreciate you. And I am thrilled to be joined today by a very special guest co-host, the producer behind shows like Fake Doctors, Real Friends, and Welcome to Our Show. You've heard her on Pop Culture Happy Hour, the Comic-Con Metapod. It's the brilliant, the talented Joelle Monique!
So good to be back. How are you, Jack?
I'm great. Good. I'm great. It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
Rainy Los Angeles. Rainy, cold Los Angeles.
Aren't you loving it? We have weather. What?
I get to wear my little cozy coat, little fur-lined coat. Yes, it is real fur.
Oh.
No, that's not true. It's real sweatshirt interior.
I get your paint cans ready.
I hunted
ready.
A real sweatshirt. And yeah. But it's great to have you. It is nice to have a little seasonal weather here. And then I'm hearing from all our friends across this great country that it's unseasonably just everything. Unseasonably cold and rainy here. Unseasonably warm, I'm told, in New York City. And our guest can tell us a little bit about that. We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a very talented podcaster from the Next Up Initiative and soon to be a member of our team, your team. She was formerly a trained esthetician, but since completing the program has moved to podcasting full-time, hosting an iHeart show called Beauty Translated, which is a brilliant a wonderful show all about celebrating the trans experience. Please welcome back to the show, Carmen Loren!
Hi, how is everybody
doing? How are you doing?
Doing well. As you said, it is unseasonably warm here. So
unseasonably everything, you know?
I don't want to turn the air conditioning on, though, so.
Yeah, so you're just sweating it out?
Yes, I'm suffering through it. All the windows are open. Yeah, we're just going to bear through it.
Yeah. It's so cold in Los Angeles. I think it's like in the dang 50s. I just like to throw that in there to enrage everybody around the country who I think like unseasonably warm weather in New York is like the 50s right now. So, all right. Well, we are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment, Carmen. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. It is Election Day. Nobody knows anything when you hear this. Nobody will know anything as of yet. It's just time to get out and vote if you haven't done the mail-in voting early. But we're going to talk about how little of an idea anybody has as to what is going to happen ahead of this and why that seems to be a trend that is doubling down. It was like after 2016, I think people are like, oh, well, they'll just correct for that, you know? They saw a mistake that they made and they'll figure it out. And now the polls will be accurate again. And then it happened again in 2020. The last midterm polls were somewhat accurate. So that's at least one piece of solace for poll watchers. But at the same time, that also just fucks you up even more because it's like, oh, so it's maybe the polls will be accurate. It adds like even another twist to all the different things that could be happening. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about why if Republicans win, it's very bad. And therefore, everybody who is not voting Republican should get the fuck out and vote.
Yes.
I do want to talk about Elon Musk. I know it's
we can do it.
It's
has to be done, I guess.
It's really been like watching someone talk shit about an NBA player, be like, man, he should have shot that. And then they like throw that person into the game and they have to play basketball, even though they don't know what the fuck they're doing. Like his tenure as CEO has been just repeatedly getting owned. And like he didn't even like have a thought before he took over as to like what he was going to do. Seems like he's like trying to make
Daddy
up.
Daddy owns a ruby mine, a sapphire mine, some precious gem mine. You don't have to worry about.
Well, it was emeralds, okay?
Oh,
which are more valuable.
All right. Okay.
So leave him alone.
Yes. Yeah, it was funny that like the first thing of being like, we'll pay for your verification, which is the silliest thing I've ever heard because verification has a very like solid point. The only reason. A lot of things came as a result of verification. Like, yes, there are clout chasers. Yes, it like bumped people up to like the top of replies. And that definitely has an impact on circulation of that tweet, et cetera. But its initial founding was just to be like, hey, this person actually exists. This is the person you think you're talking to. That was the point of the blue check.
Yeah. This is William Shatner.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's A for safety, right? Because, you know, it's some actor who now, of course, I can't remember, recently posted about how in the pre-dawn of social media, he was on a kid's show and all of a sudden these parents were like, hey, you're talking to my kid and now they're missing. What's going on? He's like, I swear to God, I'm not talking to your kid. I don't know what you're talking about. And it turned out somebody was using his name to like groom children. That's horrifying.
God.
Yeah. Horrifying.
Wow.
And so he makes a really good point for like why we need a blue check mark. But also when you have people pay for it, all of the other things past safety that came with the check mark now no longer hold any value.
Yeah.
They're foolish. So
it's
yeah,
a
Elon,
fucking mess, Joel.
I don't know what's happening over there. I do not know. But I do like, have you seen how people are sort of retaliating and naming themselves Elon Musk?
Yeah. And have you seen how he's retaliating? We'll get into it. But he's just straight up forgotten everything he was saying about, like, you know,
comedy is back on Twitter, baby.
Yeah, comedy's back. He's a free speech absolutist. And then he's like, but unless you make fun
joke
of me,
about him.
In which case, yeah. We're going to talk about a movie called Wendell and Wild, which you might not have heard of. And that's a problem. So we'll talk about that. Joelle, you saw it at TIFF. You're going to give us the inside track. All of that, plenty more. But first, Carmen, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
All right. Well, what I've been searching is Pokemon Scarlet and Violet leaks.
Yeah.
So the game leaked last night. And that means like somebody got an early copy of it. And they're basically uploading photos from the game online because a lot of stuff is under wraps right now. So I've been checking the subreddit for that constantly just for new updates to see new Pokemon. So
what are the good ones? What have you seen that's like, oh, I'm catching that immediately?
Oh, well, there's this one called Smoliv. Okay. And it's like a little olive. And it evolves into something called Dolive, which is like a little olive doll looking thing. So I'm super excited about that.
So cuteness overload. I love it.
Yeah. So when a new Pokemon game is released, there are new Pokemans who are introduced. So that's what is exciting besides there just being a new game.
Yes. And especially in this generation, they're doing this like whole future and past thing. So like they're taking old Pokemon and giving them what would you call them? Like archaic forms. And they're taking old Pokemon and giving them future forms and stuff too. So a little bit of new and then reinventing the wheel a little bit.
Mm. I like the cute outfits and the new towns. I like when I get my bike and I can just ride around through a field catching things. It's so simple. And then you get like a little happy tune and then you just collect without having to spend money, which, you know, for some of us is a challenge. So I really appreciate Pokemon being there for us.
But yeah, the game comes out in like 2 weeks. So it's going to be so fun.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm personally in the process of like the Pokemon wave is coming with my 4-year-old and 6-year-old. My 6-year-old's friends are talking Pokemon.
Yeah.
He just like hasn't gotten interested in it. And so I'm just like, I'm going to have to do a deep dive. I'm going to have to know what any of this shit means in the not too distant future. Yes. But for now, I am enjoying the brain space that I get to devote to things that are not Pokemon.
Don't be the dad that calls everything Pikachu, okay? Oh, there are many different versions. You should learn at least 50 of them and maybe get him like an old school Game Boy so he can like really get down on some of the classics. But also, card shops all over LA. There's a ton of them here. Yes. You can go and get like vintage. Some people sell like your whole binder. Sometimes they'll do like 10 mystery ones for a dollar or whatever. Just get him some cards, teach him how to play the actual game.
Yes.
And he'll be hooked. And then you'll have a fun way to interact. He could teach you the game. You could just play it. It's fun. You know, it's not looking at another screen.
It's also a good introduction to predatory capitalism because when you're like six, there's like the 7-year-olds who are like, yo, let me see that card. Here, I got this one that I'll trade for. Yeah. I mean, that's what baseball cards did for me when I was his age. So yeah, it's coming.
I love it.
I'll be studied up the next time this comes up on the Daily Zeitgeist. Perfect. Or maybe I won't. Maybe they'll just go in a different direction. Minecraft is the other thing. But
For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
What is it? Roblox also?
Roblox, yeah. I know. But like that's Minecraft the newest is thing. Really everywhere. Like just even trick-or-treating. Like we get 1,000 trick-or-treaters like every Halloween. And we had some friends over who were, you know, like 8 years younger than I am, but they were calling out all the Pokemon costumes by name. Like they, you know, I got Pikachu. That was the one that I recognized. But they were like calling all of them out. And I guess, you know, 90% of the costumes that I had just been like, oh, it's a funny little guy. That was what I thought. Oh, it's a funny little animal thing. That's cute. Oh, you're like a little dragon thing. We're actually Pokemons the whole time, and I'm a fool. But anyways, I'm going to work on it. This is actually goes back to I used to run a site called Cracked, and like our editorial team was all just right on the brink of like being too old to know about Pokemon, and then even like the younger ones, didn't really like, we just had like a editorial bias where they were just like not in on Pokemon. And we like had multiple meetings where we were like, I think we got to hire for Pokemon to like get coverage in the Pokemon world, because we were just like so bad at this.
There's a lot of lists to be made for Pokemon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's so hilarious.
Yeah.
I forget that Pokemon appeals to children at this stage. Like, I forget that it's like made for children. And I'm like, oh yeah, kids like this.
And kids don't know nothing about classic Pokemon. You didn't have to buy a light that shined into your game system so you could see the screen at night.
Yes.
Okay, you don't know. You don't know how difficult it was collecting those early packs. Yes. Getting them banned at school. It's a struggle to be a part of the system. Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, hopefully I reminded you that there's some easy trades to be made because you can just prey on these
kids. The children.
Just getting into it. Don't know. They don't know better yet.
Perfect.
What is something you think is overrated, Carmen?
Well, I kind of hinted at this already, but I think, and I should say this applies to my current weather conditions, and I don't like to be hot, okay? Mm. But I also don't love AC. I'm one of those people that if I feel AC blowing on my skin, I'm like instantly cold. So for like the past month, it's been very fall. It's been, I haven't had to have any AC on, and I've been loving it. Windows have been open, fans have been on, all of that stuff. But now that it's 80 degrees, I'm really like, dang, am I going to need to turn this AC on in November? Mm. And I don't want to, but yeah. I'm one of those people that is very sensitive to sensations.
If I feel
like cold air blowing on me, I'm uncomfortable.
I'm definitely the kind of person who it'll be 100 degrees outside and then we turn the AC on and then I'm under the blanket.
Under blanket.
Yes, because I have to protect myself from direct cold. But also I don't want to be too hot and then people think I'm weird, and maybe I am. But I just don't. I'm with you, Carmen. I don't like it. It should always be like a temperate 70. Yes. Any room I'm in, please don't expose me to extreme weather one way or the other, really. I hate to be freezing. I don't appreciate sweating. Like, I really need the earth to get it together. It's a lot. It's really not the earth's fault. We as people need to get it together.
Yeah.
Victim blaming the earth here.
Jack, your dad on this podcast, are you touching the thermostat? Are other people in your house allowed to touch the thermostat?
I'm pretty... Oh, yeah. I consider it fortunate that I'm allowed to touch the thermostat in my house. But it's... We're pretty liberal with it. My kids love to... You know, this morning, it was in the 50s. It's pretty cold inside the house. And the kids love to snuggle up next to a vent with the heat on. So we had that going this morning. Yeah, first your search history made me feel very old, but this is actually making me feel very young, because my grandfather didn't believe in air conditioning. Which I don't even know what that means, that he didn't.
It means he was alive before it came out. Look at these spoiled ass kids choosing the temperature of their house. Back in my day, we just endured. Okay.
Yeah. I like the idea that it's a belief system.
Yes.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm also the kind of person who, like, I'm who the fact that you're like, my toes will turn blue when it's time to get like additional clothes on. I think like, you know, toxic masculinity and all that bullshit like turned me into somebody who like doesn't notice like my own sensations and feelings for too long.
Yeah.
And so I'm like in a t-shirt and shorts, and then I'm like, I can't like unclench my teeth. Maybe I need to like do something about it. Maybe I need to go check the thermostat to see how cold it is in here.
That's so funny. Growing up, like, my very black parents were like, it's wild. These white boys are just out here in flip flops in the snow. What are they doing? How does this happen? It just truly baffled them as to like what the thought process was. I'm going to go back and tell them it's just toxic masculinity.
It's toxic masculinity and like trying to prove something to ourselves, I think. Probably. It's a mess. It's a mess in here, guys.
Yeah. Fellas, is it gay to be cold?
Exactly. Fellas.
Gaty. What was this thing? Skittles?
That yeah, it's just like that's the whole meme format. Gaty.
Yeah, that's wild. What is something, Carmen, that you think is underrated?
Okay, this is something that my partner, who I've been with for 7 years, has taught me, and it has to do with food, and I just ate lunch, so I'm thinking about it, but soy sauce supremacy. So I never understood the difference between all of the different types of soy sauce. My partner is Chinese American, and we went to buy a new bottle of soy sauce the other day, and I was like, we were looking at the aisle, there's all these bottles of soy sauce, and my household was, we just grabbed the Kikkoman or or whatever soy sauce packets were in the drawer from the Chinese restaurant. Yes. Mm-hmm. And he says, no, that's just brown bean water. Like, that's brown salty water.
Teach us all, Carmen.
Yeah. So there's
brown
a whole
bean water.
There's a whole
so devastating.
Yeah. Yeah. He was like, no, that's just brown salty water. I'm like, well, then what's the real soy sauce? So apparently real soy sauce is like this whole thing. It's like actually fermented. Mm. So, oh my gosh, what is it called? Pearl River is like the one that we get. It's
jotting
the gold
it
label
down.
Pearl River Superior Light Soy Sauce. Ooh. And I actually texted him the other day because I had a Kikkoman thing with some takeout that I had. And I was like, oh yeah, this is just brown salty water. You're right.
She's a changed woman. She's like, never again.
I was like, okay.
It does look fancier too. I mean, obviously the gold, but even like the color seems richer just from this photo I'm looking at online. Like a denser brown than what I'm used to.
Yeah, it's rich. It's rich.
Ooh. Okay. Well, next time I buy soy sauce, I'm coming for you, Pearl River.
Yes.
Name is just, I just want to luxuriate in that name, Pearl River Superior Light Soy Sauce.
Yes. And it comes with a gold label and everything. So you have to like peel off the gold. Like,
ooh.
So yeah, I'm like learning the world of fancy soy sauce.
I love it.
I feel like I've had good soy sauce before and it sticks better to the thing. Like when you dip a piece of like sushi or a roll in the brown salt water.
Yes.
The brown bean water I like because it's like, it might as well be fucking coffee, man. It's bad. It's bad in there. It doesn't matter. But I feel like it just, you know, it doesn't stick. It's like the difference between watercolor versus like a paint. How it actually sticks to the food that you're dipping
it
in.
It's viscosity.
It's viscosity is the word I was looking for and failing to come up with.
Viscosity.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Everybody pay attention. Soy sauce is also a really good like ingredient to throw into things just to, you know,
add flavor.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk briefly about Election Day and Elon Musk just fucking up at a staggering scale right away. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
And we're back. And it is election day. I'm hoping everybody who's listening has the opportunity to go out and vote, or you had the opportunity to vote by mail, but, you know, make the time. The stakes are very high. I mean, I guess we could talk, start off talking about it. If Republicans win, it's bad. We know that. Obviously, they want to take and have successfully taken women's bodily autonomy away from them just with the one branch of government that they can control, that they currently control. So there are the big picture bad things. We also talked about how they'll make a mockery of the ability to like impeach and investigate a sitting president by just like, I guess, like Benghazi-ing the fuck out of Biden and treating a bunch of just made up infractions like, you know, with the equivalence seriousness of Trump trying to trade military aid for a Hunter Biden investigation. Like, just it's pretty wild. Like, I feel like we've kind of memory hold the actual impeachment, but that was a pretty bad thing that he did. And like, they're going to make a mockery of the ability to investigate him so that if he gets elected once again, it's going to be all gas, no brakes whatsoever. And yeah, they'll continue to make it impossible for women to have bodily autonomy. One of the very few things that I feel like we've been able to feel good about in the past few years has been steadily increasing momentum behind unions and workers' rights. And the Republicans have already announced their plan to kind of attack that by basically taking the National Labor Relations Board and tying it up so that there are, I think they said there would be two oversight hearings a day on that subject. So just like making it impossible to kind of continue the momentum, like the small amount of progress that we've been able to see. And yeah, this is a trick that capitalists love to do, where they cheat to make it impossible to do anything with like public money or, you know, anything on the progressive side. And then they're like, see, it doesn't work. It's inefficient. And then they're also planning to, quote, save Medicare by raising the age you finally that you finally qualify for it to 67, and then make Social Security quote solvent again by raising the retirement age to 70. So it's somehow this is, you know, it's wild because they do this during Democratic presidencies. Like that's when you're like Paul Ryan became really popular or really powerful during Obama's term. And it's like you start just making it so nobody can spend any money on anything and people suffer badly. And that kind of that sticks to the Democratic president. So yeah, that's at least what they've told us their plans are for if they win.
It'll be much more sinister once
for
we,
sure.
You know, if God forbid we actually see this reality, as it always is. I'm still like reminded of like all of the filibustering to like a maddening extent, or worse if we like go all the way back to the Obama years when McConnell was like, I'm just refusing to push this Supreme Court judge through, which of course has now derailed us into infinity. And it's just like, I hope that whatever happens, at the very least, the Democratic Party, because it's the only other party we have to rely on, unfortunately, just step it up just a little bit in the area of like, we have to be civil. We are done with civility just for civility's sake, just because this is how it's all. Like, we have to play by different rules if we're going to survive a second red wave. Like, I just don't know how else we do it.
Right.
Fascism. Yeah. Like, if we're going to survive fascism, you know, we have to. Yeah.
Yeah. I am hoping that somehow this, like, whatever happens in the election translates to them seeing more and more that, like, the strength is with people who are maybe outside of the centrist mainstream Democratic Party. But there's just so much momentum on that. And I think that kind of leads us nicely into the kind of polling, the sort of mainstream media polling industrial complex. So like one of the big stories that you're seeing ahead of this election is stories like by pollsters, like quoting pollsters being like, we have no fucking idea what's gonna happen, you guys. Like, this is a mess. We're terrible at our jobs. That is a Yahoo story that I think was originally from Daily Beast, but pollsters have, quote, no fucking idea what's going to happen this election. And it really seems like pollsters have been pretty much out to sea since Trump won. And I think there was a theory of the case that they would take that initial, like, disastrous Trump win in 2016 and, like, somehow fix the model. But the win in 2016 and them being, you know, 100% off, like just fully off in the opposite direction, except for Nate Silver, who like was saying there's a bigger chance of Trump winning than like people are giving it credit ahead of the thing. I do think that's worth saying because I don't know, he's full of shit a lot of the time, but that was one thing that I think people misremember, as because almost all pollsters were saying that Trump had no chance in hell at winning, that he was also in there. But he's been pretty frank, and a handful of other pollsters have been like, yeah, the issue is nobody talks to us anymore, like on either side. Like, no, we used to do polling by landlines, and those don't exist anymore for the most part.
Yeah, if I hear an automated voice or even a voice I don't know, it's an immediate hang up. Like, I'm not picking up unknown numbers, but on the off chance I accidentally do, I don't know whose voice is on the other end of that line. You need to leave me a message and I'll call you back at my convenience. What can I ask as an ignorant person? Do we need pollsters? I mean, we're going to find out the results anyway. What is the advantage to having people be like, this will be the result?
Because there's money to be made. There's no advantage to us.
Oh, it's capitalism. Yeah.
It's okay, capitalism.
Got it.
It is the mainstream media in America's massive bias towards whatever is profitable and can make money. And it can, like, it's extra resistant strain because the people who are pollsters and consultants who all like work together are also like very similar. They're the people that like mainstream media journalists like went to Cornell with and shit like that.
Of course,
you know, like they're all like in that same world where they like all pay attention to and care about the same stuff. And in a system that was operating like optimally, this just wouldn't, they would have had this conversation and been like, yeah, we aren't getting this right anymore. So we should like figure out a different system. But because there's so much appetite, like all the headlines are still about what polls are saying ahead of this midterm election, because we're curious. I'm going to be looking at the fucking polls tomorrow. Like I'm just telling you, I shouldn't be, but like, I'm going to at least like glance at them and have them affect how I feel. Like, you know, like,
oh, no.
I'm going to do my best, but I know that I'll have a moment of weakness to be like where I'm like, let's just like see what people are saying. But
I encourage everyone to just wait until the results are in, like, especially if there hasn't been any adjustment that we can see from last time. We're going to get burned so bad.
And there has been, the only adjustment there's been since last time is, first of all, pollsters seem to be more honest this time because they're like really anticipating that they're going to fuck it up. It's like a team ahead of the Super Bowl just being like, yeah, I don't know, like my legs hurt. It's like it could go really badly here ahead of this thing. Nate Cohn, you're only allowed to be a pollster if your name is Nate, apparently.
That makes sense.
Nate Cohn mentioned in one of his like poll result things that it took him 2 hours of dialing just to complete one in interview. So that's the conversion rate of their time.
Oh,
and the only thing they're doing is phone calls to landlines?
Yeah, they have other strategies, but they just like don't work as much, and they can't tell because they're new strategies. They can't tell how biased they are in one direction versus another. And
because
so,
we've eliminated communal spaces, it's not like you can even go to a mall anymore and hope to get like a wide sample size.
Yeah.
Everything's like an echo chamber, basically.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah.
You could post to like Truth Social, and of course, you know what the results are going
to
be.
New strategy. Go to social media, set up a poll, see what happens.
Yeah.
Who are you voting for? Just have people vote on social media and see if you can get a better reaction. I bet if you use it with like all the ad technology they have out there to like get into specific demographics, if you set up a poll using that technology, I bet you could get better results than phone calls because then there's no person-to-person interaction.
They're trying everything. I had a phone call come in where I think they were negging me into like doing a poll for them because it was like there was some silence. It wasn't a spam likely number. So I always pick those up because it could be like some like the play my kids are in or something, you know, like there's just like so many numbers that like I just want to
be able to. Parents have so much to deal with.
You have to answer when unknown numbers call just because you don't know like what it's going to be. And there was like a little bit of silence and then it sounded like a real person. And he was like, hey, this is like councilman, like said some name. Then he was like, are you there? Can you hear me? Actually, all right, I can't hear you. I'm going to call back. And then like hung up on me. And I was like, what is this strategy? Like,
bizarre.
Was it just so I would hear their name? Is it like very, very strange?
Wow.
Yeah, I just didn't answer when he called me back. But
as you wouldn't, because what was
the marketing team behind that?
Want to be like, we haven't liked phones for such a long time. Like, we turned our phone into being anything other than a phone. Pivot, guys. It's time. It's time to pivot.
But there's nothing good to pivot to, I think, is the conclusion of a lot of these articles. The thing that the Republican Party has pivoted to is white supremacy and aggressively going after the voters who showed that they exist and don't show up in polls in the 2016 and 2020 presidential elections. Mm-hmm. The Democratic Party is like so addicted to this like mainstream media polling consultant industrial complex like they, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. they... I think it really is like a big part of what is going to make this course that the Democratic Party is on difficult to sustain is that like they're just, they can't get away from it, even as the pollsters are saying on the front page of the fucking paper the day, like on election day, hey, we don't know shit. That like, that's just where we're at. I think they were doing great when the people who voted were like that, like read their papers. Like Nate Silver, I think, called everything within like almost every county in America correctly in the 2012 election. But that was when the Republican Party was also choosing its candidate based on who pollsters thought would be good. And like, so it was like Mitt Romney. You know, it was like somebody who was like, it was somebody who appealed to like nobody, but it
remember when there wasn't that much difference between the Republican and Democratic Party. And it was always just two random white dudes who were like very milquetoast. And we were like, I guess that one. Oh, man, what a time to be alive.
But yeah, they used to just like go pick the candidate that would appeal to like Republicans who read newspapers, and now just like abandoned that. And I think it's probably time for the Democrats to at least stop listening to these same consultants and come up with a new strategy, because the pollsters are here and they're telling you that it's, this is not it. Like we don't know shit. It's a mess.
It's profitable.
It's basically very profitable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's that people want to know what's going to happen.
I love writing my friends checks too. I get it.
Yeah. I do think there should be a like the way that this happens in sports is, I guess there's also like a very dumb like sports media industrial complex where like one person gets on and is like, this team's going to win, and if you say they're not, you're an idiot, and then the other but like in terms of the scientific, like looking into who's going to win, like it's betting markets that people, and those are pretty, they're not always right, but they do a decent job because it's actually, you know, people with some expertise like putting money behind it and able to make
it. Why do we keep track of all of those stats? Like, it's got to be much easier to do, you know, I know like from this line, he shoots this percentage and this many free throws, et cetera.
Yeah.
As opposed to like the constantly shifting demographics of the American voting populace.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I guess that if there's money to be made, like maybe they'll find ways to better like predict elections, because that's just how America operates.
Sure. Mm-hmm. That part.
By the way, while we're reading this, I'm getting a telemarketer phone call.
Leave him alone, telemarketers. Leave him alone.
They know, because I answer those random calls from like the kids' school or the kids' teachers.
We can get this guy.
Yeah, this guy's a dumb. They probably have me on like some list that's like parent willing to answer any. Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk Elon Musk.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
And we're back. And yeah, I don't know. It's gone from being like, ah, oh, this is bad. This person who just bought Twitter has some weird beliefs. And I suspect he might be incompetent. But it really is like watching somebody who's never thought about how to do this particular job take over the job and just get fucking owned repeatedly in public, just over and over. And in a way that I like can't possibly be part of some strategy. Like I know that very...
You would like that, wouldn't you? If there was actual thought behind it.
Yeah, they really would. Like... I don't know. Like, he has so many stands the same way. I kind of lump Elon Musk, Trump, and Kanye into a, like, category of people who are taking advantage of this strange, like, civilizational structure we currently have with social media where, you know, toxic narcissism becomes, like, steroids to be just the most dominant personality in the world. And it's good at capturing like the hearts and minds of some very lonely people. It just so happens that like the majority of the world is very lonely people right now because we're all on just social media and, you know, working, and at least the majority of America. So people want to give him the benefit of the doubt. He has a lot of supporters, but like this, I don't know how. It really is like an NBA fan who just gets pulled into a game because they talked shit and just getting dunked on repeatedly.
I think this is the result of, particularly in America, I'm not sure how Elon trends outside of the United States, but in America, we have this ideology of like the genius billionaire builder. I mean, look at how we started our Marvel Universe with Iron Man.
I was just going to say.
But you can check it, you know, probably, I mean, there's probably someone before Henry Ford, but that's the big icon of like, my youth would be like, he invented the assembly line and he made capitalism easier because he turned you into a factory part. Isn't that wonderful? Like, he figured out how to have an effective factory floor and he raised a ton of money and he got rich and that was lovely. Vanderbilts are another good example of like, they build museums with all their money. Isn't that lovely? Like, look at how progressive that is of them. Say thank you. We love like a white billionaire influencer, philanthropists, like that's really what we're about. And so that and because we've made icons of these people, I think we're constantly looking for the next one. Elon made a ton of really bold claims, but it's funny to me how people stick with these folks. Like, you know, to me, if you're an Elon stan, like, didn't the truck window that couldn't be broken that then got broke on stage in presentation make you take pause? Did the Teslas that are constantly on fire, or the workers who you have so much more in common than you ever will with Elon, who have had to like constantly vocally protest their work conditions, like make you rethink? It's, or, you know, like the Kyrie Irving fans who are like, we love Kyrie, he's great, like he thinks the world is flat, y'all. Like, I just would encourage you to consider like what else these people are thinking and doing besides what they say they can do. Like, their actions should be speaking louder than their words, and that's what is perplexing about the Elon stans of it all.
There are a lot of Elon stans out there, and it's just funny to me, like, he didn't even really like buy Twitter to like, I feel like he just bought Twitter because he wanted to, well, first he was mad about like his daughter transitioning and like the free speech thing on Twitter. And I feel like he's just trying to like get back at people, and it's not working.
Wait, say more, Carmen. I didn't know his daughter was transitioning.
Oh, yes. His daughter transitioned, and he claims that he lost his daughter to trans activists and like trans woke activism and all of that. So like he, you know, he encourages, like openly encourages like transphobia on Twitter now, you know, now that comedy is legal again on Twitter.
Every time someone shows their ass to be a villain, it goes right back to transphobia. And that is so upsetting to me.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it is wild. Oh my gosh. Okay. So even more of a monster than I initially thought.
And openly, and just like openly behind closed doors, but like among people who have worked with him, openly racist. Like,
oh, yeah. So, oh, yeah. That's not, he's from South Africa. He owned a mine. This is,
yeah.
Two and two is four, people.
Truly, by the way, I just want to make sure, because you mentioned earlier that he has emeralds in his pockets, and I think people might assume that that is like a metaphor where it's like he was born on third with emeralds in his pockets. No, his dad, who also monster, but was like, yeah, Elon was always walking around with emeralds in his pocket, selling them to Tiffany's to get extra pocket change, basically, because we owned an emerald mine and he knew that gave him money.
Nightmarish.
So, yeah, truly nightmarish.
I want to ask, do you guys intend to keep using Twitter? Have you seen Twitter change all that much in the past couple of days?
I never used it. Continue.
You never used Twitter?
No. Well, I did for, yeah, like, just to peek on people, like lurk on people, but never, because I hate that they put everything behind a wall, you know?
Yeah.
You can't see it unless you sign in, which I'm like, oh, but
no. Yeah, I'm mainly a lurker too. The other solution, I haven't like reshaped my life and my like way of tracking news enough to figure out like what I'm going to do, but I am getting there to the place where I'm ready to jump ship. But I'm also, I don't know how much, like, I'll probably keep using it because I don't think it necessarily like changes that much to just like not have that window into the world.
I think it'll be interesting to see what happens once the rule changes go into effect, which they push back to after today. So after the election, then new rules go into effect, which I think was smart, but I don't know how much difference will a day make, really. But just as far as like interactions, I mean, already you have a ton of people who are like reporting racism and they're being like, this does not violate Twitter rules. And if we're going to go in the opposite direction of less rules, it seems like there's going to be more rabid trolls, and that might impact user interactions and, you know,
Always.
Just the general joy you get on the site. As somebody who's used Twitter a lot, like, I am very addicted to Twitter. It's where it's how I got started in the industry. Because despite having a degree, getting a job, it was real hard when I first got here. Twitter gave me my first couple of jobs when I got the checkmark and verified. It helped, you know, make me seem more professional to other jobs I was applying to. So that was really helpful. I have an entire network of Black lady delegates who are, you know, work all across this industry in many different positions. That's where our group chat lives, is on Twitter. It's weird to think I might not be returning there soon. I'm definitely seeing a huge drop in like followers as people begin to exit. And what's really hard is I'm trying to find a space that can replace what Twitter is for me, which is essentially a place that's like words first. I like Instagram. I don't mind taking a picture of myself every now and again. I might even hop on a video into my stories, but I'm not trying to do that on the daily and certainly not as much as I be tweeting. That's a lot. I checked out Mastodon, which is sort of like Discord in that there are different hubs that you can join, but that seems to negate the like universality of Twitter, where if you're putting it on a board, everybody who's on Twitter can see it on that board. Whereas Mastodon is like segmented, I guess. It's very hard to understand. I'm trying to learn. If you feel you're an expert in Mastodon, please talk to me. Tumblr just brought nudes back. So tasteful nudes. They were like tasteful nudes. So apparently
they
not
were ready
pornography.
For their moment. Yeah.
They knew what was up.
Yeah. To answer your question, it does feel like this is like there's been moments where people are like, we're all quitting Twitter. This sucks.
Oh, for sure.
This feels different. It feels like things are dissolving on there. I can't remember a time where for a full week, like the content has just been like this bad. The conversations seem to all be about Elon Musk, which I'm assuming is what he wanted. In the first place, but it just makes for, and I don't know if that's, you know, the new regime fucking with like how the algorithm delivers tweets, but I do know that last night when I was checking Twitter, I got two just Elon Musk tweets in my feed, and I've never gotten an Elon Musk tweet in my feed, but they like legitimate, genuine Elon Musk being like, we want to be the place for truth, or like, oh, you know, wow. some bullshit mainstream, like kind of appealing centrist take that's not the reality. I think it's so true what you were saying about Iron Man. I put Elon Musk in the same category as Jeffrey Dahmer, as these two figures who the zeitgeist dreamed up at the same time that like Hollywood was creating a figure that everybody wanted. So Jeffrey Dahmer, like, you know, I think he was just a lazy person who didn't like clean up a lot of the dead bodies, and he might have like tried a piece of like one of his victims, but like when he was being questioned, the police really wanted him to be a cannibal, and it was right after Silence of the Lambs, and so he was like, yeah, that's me, I'm a cannibal. Like the evidence isn't that strong. It just seems like he was a terrible alcoholic who was like just had the way that, you know, I'm sure a lot of alcoholics like don't clean up after themselves and just have like, you know, things from work strewn all over their apartment.
It's just racist killings all over.
Yeah, just racist murders all over the place.
Oh,
and just
my God.
In his like refrigerator, and you know, but so that's like this is not a popular theory, by the way, but this is I've always suspected that, and I've never been able to like find the like, you know, the evidence that it's like, yes, he definitely did, and not that he was just taking advantage of a thing. And it's just so weird that like America had their big cannibal serial killer right after Silence of the Lambs was like a hit. It's like, okay.
I buy into this theory, Jack. Yeah. You're blowing my mind, but I buy into it, because police will, if they think you did it, they'll, especially if you're a person who has any kind of like learning disability or mental disability, or if you're like an addict who's currently in the throes of your addiction, like they lean on you in such a way that you'll confess to, you know, whatever it is they're talking about. And especially at that point, if you already know you're screwed, like you might as well go out with a bang. Like, I'm the person who eats people. Don't fuck with me when I get to prison.
Right.
Like, which, we'll take a bite out of you.
Yeah. And
makes sense.
And Elon Musk came up right around the same time as Tony Stark. Like he was just somebody who was very successful in business. Like, you know, despite what their revisionist biographies will tell you, the only skill of almost any big CEO that becomes a billionaire is that they take advantage of their advantages, and they find a weakness in the system and exploit it repeatedly until they have more money than the system intended them to have. Like when you look back and like to a person, go person by person. It's just finding a weakness, exploiting it over and over and over again until you have way, way, way too much money. And then they write these stories where it's all about like, well, I had this vision and, you know, I did it all by myself. And it's actually like, no, you were just like in the right place at the right time, around the right people, got very lucky.
Took advantage of your workers, stepped all over people and bam, billionaire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, having this public persona that everybody really fucks with and like that, you know, Iron Man is inadvertently doing your PR work for you. It's also happening, like it kind of ties back to the polling thing, because it's happening at a time when we still believe that like a technocrat could save us, that like this, we could just keep getting better technology and answer, you know, all of these challenges that we had, even though like all of the information we had coming in that was reliable was like, no, the world is ending, you guys. There's we have a climate disaster and like the most powerful people in the world are unwilling to admit it.
But so what you're saying is Avatar was right and Marvel was wrong. We picked the wrong franchise.
I am kind of saying that. I didn't want to come out and say it, Joelle, because I know you would be pissed, but all right, real quick. Wait, let's give the people something that they could be watching.
Yes.
That is not Twitter. That like Wendell and Wild is a movie that is from the artist who made Nightmare Before Christmas and then had Tim Burton like slap his name on it. But Henry Selick created that. He created Coraline, which is like a classic stop motion animation, like visual extravaganza. His latest movie is a collaboration with Jordan Peele. It is supposed to be just like incredible, like one of the most visually like stunning movies in years, which is like what happens every time this person releases a movie. And Netflix is just like not even telling people it exists. They're not like promoting it. It's pretty wild.
That opens up another wild conversation that we can definitely get into, the idea of what is being and what isn't being promoted. And I have to say that it comes much more down to the algorithm and not as much like money and intent to promote. So I have a lot of friends who work in PR, and this is like a very frustrating line for them. They're like, we work our asses off trying to promote these films and get in front of your eyes, but because we become such disparate groups, because there are so many spaces where you can just opt out of ads, you're not frequently, and because less people are commuting to work now than ever, although a lot have returned, the spaces where you're used to seeing ads are no longer being tapped into. And so a lot of people are missing it. I've seen this promoted here and there, and because it's a Netflix movie and because Netflix is currently in the throes of figuring out like what is their next move, they're struggling to, you know, they don't have the funds they might once have had to go full tilt. Even Disney has had a bunch of properties come out this year, and the only thing they've leaned into in a crazy way is Black Panther, where they were essentially like, if it's a product, we'll put Black Panther on it. We do not care at this point. This is the movie that is going to save our bottom line. And so that's what we're seeing across PR. But PR aside, I'll come here and promote this movie in case it hasn't crossed your timeline yet. Henry Selick, as Jack just mentioned, is a genius director. He did The Nightmare Before Christmas and Coraline, and he did it with major studios that have, you know, their bottom line and their own specific desires. There's a reason you put Tim Burton on Nightmare Before Christmas, right as, you know, he's coming off of the success of Beetlejuice and some of his other films, Edward Scissorhands and stuff like that. It was an aim to bring in, you know, more teenage viewers, because this is one of the first movies Disney did that wasn't strictly aimed at children. And it comes post their 1980s very dark phase. Then they have The Little Mermaid come out and they're like very shiny, and they weren't sure how it was going to track. Their dark days, if you know anything about Disney in the late 70s, early 80s, it was a real problem for them. The studio almost collapsed until The Little Mermaid came out. And because of that, Henry Selick is constantly being lost, even though he's one of the greatest our like country has ever produced as far as visual creators. It costs a lot of money to make stop motion. So he goes to Jordan Peele with Wendell and Wild, and he created in partnership with Monkey Paw Studio, the film follows the story of Cat, played by Lyric Ross, who has become hardened by the school-to-prison pipeline. After her parents die in a car crash, Kat blames herself. As she ages, she becomes increasingly angry. As an orphan, she's passed around between foster homes and detention centers until she lands back in her hometown and all-girls boarding school. School here sucks. The once thriving town now resembles an abandoned factory town. Most families have left, and the ones that stayed either hoarded their wealth or are trying like heck to prevent to preserve what little community is left. Mm. Eventually, Kat begins to find her people, Raul, Sam Zelaya, a trans boy eager to express himself while stuck in a school for girls, and Miss Heller, played by Angela Bassett, a nun who is secretly a demon hunter. When Kat discovers a way to bring her parents back, she calls
As most nuns are. I think we can all agree. Most nuns.
Yes. So when Kat discovers a way to bring her parents back, she calls two demons, Wendell and Wilde, Keegan-Michael Key, and Jordan Peele from the underworld, and calamity ensues. Demons run amok. Kat remains closed off from the community that's eager to help her, and two evil parents conspire to close the boarding school and turn the surrounding lands into a prison. Selleck's return to animation is long overdue. Despite creating two of the most popular children's films in the past 20 years, no studio is willing to bankroll and cost his next stop-motion picture. And while Wendell and Wilde lacks the whimsy and lightness of his previous endeavors, it also pushes the boundaries of what children's films are willing to discuss with kids. Trans rights and denial of gender affirmation, the depressions and isolation of children lost in the system, and the strength it takes to stand up to one's elders are all on display under Selleck and Peele's pens. On top of that, the animation is flawless. At times, I forgot I was watching stop motion. The movement was super fluid. The underworld is a blaze of dazzling green and twirly amusement park rides, and Rule's art piece is inspiring. However, the film does run long at 102 minutes, and while the messages are important, there are so many characters and subplots, it's challenging to keep everything straight. As much as I love moments in the film, I didn't feel the whole thing came together. But I'm glad Selleck and Peele teamed up, and I'm hoping to see more out of the pair in the future. Selleck is eager to craft more of his masterpieces, and it would be great if he weren't begging or creatively stifled as he continued his career. You can watch Wendell and Wilde on Netflix right now. Come for the beautiful animation, stay for the extraordinary vocal performances.
Damn. Joel, one of our great film critics, and we're lucky to have had a actual piece of film criticism from you.
I hope to do more. Oh, I should mention this film did premiere at TIFF a while ago. It's beautiful. If you get a chance, I know it was screening it was doing a couple of screenings. I think they're doing a couple of more special screenings. If you get a chance, see it on the big screen. It is truly, truly beautiful. And I think that, you know, having had this run with Monkey Paw, knowing that they're trying to do more films like this, you know, I think it takes a lot of guts to make a film with an unlikable character, or it might be better to say Kat is uninterested in being liked. You know, I liked her a lot because she's a badass Black girl who's not taking anyone's shit and is really on a mission to sort of liberate herself from the confines she's been left in. But I also think, you know, I hope that getting to do this again and having money and more time, he'll be able to craft something a little bit tidier to what we're used to seeing and all these great pieces. So it looks great. I'm glad he had this opportunity to tell this story.
Yeah. And it's in collaboration, like you mentioned, Jordan Peele like co-wrote it. So like that, Jordan Peele is one of the only people who can open a movie like just by working behind the scenes on a movie, you know? I mean, obviously it's not a Jordan Peele directed like movie that like everybody's going to turn out to, but you would think that they would kind of lean into that. But I do think like what Disney did with Tim Burton and Nightmare Before Christmas kind of fucked up anyone's ability to do that on a Henry Selick movie. I think now he's like, this shit is all me, baby.
Yeah, as it should be. He deserved all that. For so many people are like, oh yeah, you know, Tim Burton directed it. He didn't. It's presented by him. He was a producer. He gave many a note. He drew a lot of the characters and then somebody else sculpted. But let's be real, there's a lot of, and especially if you're going to do a stop motion picture, there's going to be so many hands involved creatively. Like, I think it's just always important to recognize the directors who do what to me seems an impossible. I don't know if you guys have ever seen stop motion in action. It is so tedious. It is such a difficult task. Yeah. The other cool thing about the movie is you get to see Keegan-Michael Key and Jordan Peele do their Key and Peele shtick a lot. The demons look like some of the there was an airplane sketch they did with where they had these strange beards. Those are on the characters at one point. You get a very, if you've seen their football sketches where they call each other like weird names and they're like just being doofy, like it's a lot of that energy. So their scenes are a lot of fun too.
Yeah. And it's cool that it's on the theme of like the school to prison, like pipeline.
Hell yeah.
And, you know, trans rights. And
I'm sold. That sounds great. And it's like all spooky paranormal themed also. Mm-hmm. So
and it's very punk rock, whereas the other films are like, again, super into like the whimsy and sort of, you know, Neil Gaiman's like fairy tale centered and The Nightmare Before Christmas is all about lore. This is just very much like my dad was into punk rock and so am I. I have a giant boombox and spiked boots and bright green hair. Fuck with me if you dare kind of energy. It's very 13. I think if I was a 13-year-old, I might have more appreciation for this film. That's who it was made for anyhow.
Yeah.
And then I spoke to a woman whose parents died when she was young. And she found a lot of semblance in the movie. She connected a lot with the main character and felt, you know, it described her rage and anger post their deaths really well. So a lot of people get a lot of different things out of the movie, which I think, you know, is typically really hard to do. So definitely watch it. I give it a solid B+.
Is it PG-13? Yeah, okay, PG-13. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'll probably not have a chance to, maybe I will have a chance to watch it, but
I would say the PG-13 is not for violence at all. And I didn't think the demons are particularly frightening and they're not like devilish or gory at all. I think it really comes down to subject matter.
Yeah.
Maybe some language, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. I think, you know, it, my 4-year-old's probably not ready for it, but
it would be hard to keep a 4-year-old's attention on this film, to be honest. I had to watch it twice before I felt I fully understood all of the things that were happening in it.
Yeah. Although Selick said that he was like, after Coraline wasn't like the movie that he necessarily or like, you know, it was a hit, but it wasn't like a huge hit. And it was, you know, as you mentioned, so challenging to make. He wasn't sure he was going to make another movie. And then the show Key and Peele was like just creating at such an amazing level that he said it inspired him to start working again. And like I love a full circle moment. I think Key and Peele is like, I've always said, I think Jordan Peele's work as a comedic actor is underrated. Like, before he made films, I was like, that's my favorite comedic actor. Like, his performances are just so subtle and they're big. It's also not like,
it's comedy. You have to go big.
But
some of his choices are, I think, to your point, amongst those big actions, you'll see him do small things that you're like, what is happening there? That's weird. And it's an interesting, like, character, which I think sometimes gets lost in comedy, which is all about the punchline. But he talks too about how he builds horror around a joke setup to reveal a punchline, which if you've seen, you totally get when you're watching it, because the whole thing is stringing you along until that final moment where you're like, oh my God. And it's almost funny. It's comical in a more of a like nebulous universal way. It's wild. Yeah. He's extremely talented.
So good. And I think Key and Peele, I think it'll last. Like, people will still be talking about it years.
It holds up. If you go back and watch, if you haven't seen it in a while, it's a good rewatch.
So good. Well, Carmen, as always, truly a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Well, my Instagram, that's my only social I have, that you can find me at whereintheworldis_Carmen, or you can follow the podcast Beauty Translated Pod also on Instagram. The whole season one of Beauty Translated Podcast is out now, so go and listen to it. We're working on a season two. So
it's super good. Carmen has so many great guests and they're so vulnerable and sharing their stories, and it just, it's so good. I love this podcast.
Thank you so much.
Is there a tweet or something on Instagram? We're going to have to change this part. We're going to have to.
Right? I know, oh, no! Right?
Is there any work of social media that you've been enjoying?
I saw this. The Onion posted this on Instagram, right before I hopped in here. And It's a headline that says centrist advocates moderate approach to genocide. And I thought that was perfect. I screenshotted that and I was like, well, that's going to be my tweet. So there you go.
That's good. Joelle, where can people find you? What is a tweet you've been enjoying? Or
y'all have find me doing some of my best work at Comic-Con Metapod. There's a little asterisk between Meta and Pod. You do have to type it in to find it on IG, or you could just come to any of my social pages. There will be a link there. We've had such good conversations with you guys. I talked to Giancarlo Esposito and made him cry. I spoke to Jessica Gao about how she pitched She-Hulk. We talked to Cody Ziegler, who wrote the Daredevil episode of She-Hulk, and he broke down how he got that episode by bringing in a Daredevil comic randomly to a writer's room, and they were like, oh, well, you have all the facts, so you're writing that episode. And my co-host Hector Navarro and I, who Hector's like a encyclopedia of nerd stuff. He's really been helping me break down all the nerd news. So we have really great episodes coming up this Wednesday. So tomorrow for you guys, we have Kevin Kiner, the only composer who's composed more Star Wars music than John Williams. He just did the new Tales of the Jedi series, and the music is so good, y'all. So he breaks it down for us. So please, please come check out Comic-Con Metapod. It is my love. You can also find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique. It's Joellemonique. I've really been appreciating the tweets that have been dunking on Champagne Poppy after his redonkulous album dropped and he decided he was going to put Megan Thee Stallion's name in his mouth, as well as Serena's husband. My favorite one was, I know this NBA wife is not calling anybody a groupie, followed by many, many pictures of Drake with many, many basketball stars. The delightful. NBA wife. Keep that energy coming. From at It's the Brandy tweeted, I opened a delivery app because I wanted beer, and then I got excited by the dining options and then got sad because I realized my address was still the bar in Brooklyn I did trivia at. Been there, Brandy. It's brutal. You're like, oh, all this looks so good. That's not the address I'm currently at. None of that food will come to me. And then Jacob Hall at Jacob S. Hall tweeted, have to admire that the weird stores have taken over the mall. The RC vehicle specialty shop, the unofficial Lego store knockoff, the horror memorabilia store, the place that was all wrestling shit, the vast empty store that was just dozens of coin-operated baby rides. Have you been in a mall lately? It's very strange. It is a weird experience filled with like rundown Sears and then way too many coin-operated, like, either rides or massage chairs. I don't know what's happening to America's malls, but we need to bring them back.
Yeah.
What malls, you got, Jack?
Malls are niche these days, for sure. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. Tweet I've been enjoying, Bill Nye, though, and then it's a parody in parentheses on Twitter because you have to make that clear.
That parody.
You actually don't have to make it clear. The only person who minds if you parody them is Elon Musk.
Elon Musk.
But Bill Nye, though, said, damn, how much daylight they trying to save? It's dark as hell. That is. Yeah, we didn't address it yet, but that it's daylight. It's dark as hell.
It's dark as hell.
And I thought I stopped paying attention to the story when the Senate passed unanimously legislation to do away with the change. But then the House, who we're about to be hearing a lot more bad news from, if pollsters are right, which they probably aren't. But the House has yet to find consensus. Because
please do it, House. I'm tired. I don't want ever have to switch a clock again or adjust. My dog doesn't like it. Like, it's too much. It's overkill. We just need one time of day. Lights are going to be on anyway.
Yes. The yet to find consensus quote is from Representative Frank Pallone Jr., chairman of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. I don't know if you could find a more cursed committee than House Energy and Commerce. Things that are killing us all. Anyway, you can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes!
Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Super producer Justin Smith, do you have a song that you would like people to check out with Miles out today?
I do. Considering it is a rainy, gray day in LA, this song...
In honor of Miles.
Yes, yes, in honor of Miles. This day, or this song is really, really relaxing, but it fits the vibe so well. This is a group called Lapalux featuring Talvi. This song sounds like if the Sci-Fi Channel acquired some Cinemax IP and started doing like softcore sci-fi. This is, it's a very like sexy, wavy song. There's a lot of interesting sound effects going on and it's going to get you excited. I promise you. So So this song is Forever, spelled the old instant messenger way, one word, the number 4, EVA, Lapalux and Talvi, and you can find this song in the footnotes.
The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.